We are continuing in our series on kingdom finances. And just to kind of catch you up, if you haven't been a part of this series so far, some of the main things that I hope people have gotten so far. The first is this, that everything belongs to God. There's nothing in all creation that doesn't belong to God, including you and me, and our lives. And what that means, I mean, it has many implications, but one of the things it means is that we have ownership over nothing, but we're managers of the things that God has entrusted to us, and we need to learn to manage those things well. A second main thing that we've learned is that money, contrary to what is popularly taught, money is not neutral. Money is a tool that can be used for good or for evil, but it's not neutral. It often presents as a rival to God, a false God that makes similar promises to God to save our lives and to give us abundant life. And it vies for our affection and for our loyalty and for our trust, our faith. The third thing that we talked about was that the tithe, giving a tenth of what God has entrusted to us, helps us to remember these truths, that everything belongs to God and that money, while a blessing, can be a dangerous thing. And setting aside a portion of what God has entrusted to us, traditionally a tenth, helps to keep things in order in our lives. Last week, we looked at a case study, a biblical case study, of a man who was looking for eternal life, and he had a lot of things going for him, not the least of which was that he knew to go to Jesus. But he was a man who was taking God seriously and was knowledgeable about the Bible and was trying to live out the commands of God. He wanted to be faithful, but he also knew that something was missing, that something was not happening for him. And so he went to Jesus to find out what that was. And Jesus puts his finger on it right away, that his wealth is getting in the way of a life with God. And so Jesus tells him to give his possessions to the poor and then to follow him, to follow Jesus, to get rid of the blockages between him and Jesus. And we looked at how that was difficult for the man. He had a lot of things. By the way, it doesn't say that he didn't give them up. It only says that it was difficult. He went away sorrowful. And this morning, I want to try to say one thing. I'm going to use a bunch of verses to say it, but really, I just want to say one thing, and that is that money is a blessing. Don't ignore it. Don't dismiss it. Don't avoid it. Faithfulness to Jesus means learning how to handle it well. Learning God's priorities so that we can ensure that it gets to the right places to do the things that God means for it to do. Let's pray briefly, and then we're going to jump into scripture. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are forming us even now. And that you're forming us for our good, that you want us to have a great life, both now and forever. And I pray that we would not shrink back from that, that our ears would be open, that our minds would be open, that our hearts would be open to you, Lord. Help us to lean into you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to confess that early in my Christian life and for years, I had an uneasy relationship with money. I think bottom line, I kind of thought low key that money was bad. And I was sort of afraid of it and of having money. Jesus said in that passage with the rich man that I was just talking about, he says that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom. That put the fear into me. Jesus says that people are foolish who store up things for themselves and are not rich toward God. Jesus said that the thorny soil is the person whose spiritual life is choked out by the cares of this world and the pursuit of riches. And so I didn't want things to get between me and God. I certainly didn't want money to get between me and God. And so I kind of was trying to keep money at arm's length. But I lived in a tension with money because I was wary of it. I felt like biblically I had been warned to be careful around money. But I also needed money to be able to live. And honestly, I wanted money. I had to pay the bills, but I also wanted to be a blessing to people in need. And I was, to the degree that I was able to. That was usually relatively small amounts in dollars, though perhaps a high percentage of my income. But I recognized that to be a blessing, it can help to have money. Now, I should put a caveat in at this point and acknowledge that all of us are called to give out of what we have and not out of what we don't. So that's what I did. I gave out of what I had. I just didn't have much. But I did give non-financially from my giftedness and my money and my time. And so my hope is that those of us who have less finances will still give of ourselves. But anyway, I felt like I had these two conflicting streams of teaching about money. A Christian stream that warned me to be wary of money. And a Chinese-American stream that encouraged me to be wise with money, even shrewd with money. To live within my means, to scrimp and to save and invest, to not get into debt. But it turns out that there were whole sections of scripture that I was ignoring or that I was blind to somehow. And we're going to take a look at some of those verses this morning. I'm going to read several different passages of scripture. I'm going to go through them relatively quickly. I encourage you to write them down so that you can reflect on them later, read and reflect on them later. But I'll read them now and comment on them briefly. Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God is giving you the power to make wealth in order to confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. So two things I want to say from that verse. One is that God gives you the power to make wealth. And those of us who felt kind of helpless or hopeless in the area of money, that is a lie from the pit. You are not helpless. God gives you the power to make wealth. And why does he do it? Well, it's not just because it's a practical thing and you need it to live on. I mean, I think it's that as well. But it says, in order to confirm his covenant with you, his promise to you, God is confirming his relationship with you by giving you some power, the opportunity to be able to make and to grow wealth. Proverbs 10:22 says that it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. I think I read that and kind of spiritualized it, but I think he also means it literally. in the area of finances, that God wants to bless financially. And he makes many promises to that effect. In fact, there are so many that I can't read them all. It would take too long, but let me read a few. I'll do one from the Old Testament and a couple from the New Testament. Deuteronomy 28, verses 11 and 12 says that the Lord will give you more than enough prosperity in the children of your womb, in the offspring of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless every work of your hand. And you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. So I need to be careful here. I'm not a prosperity gospel guy who says that the prosperity gospel people believe that God means for you to be rich and healthy. That I don't think is promised in the way that they try to put it out there. But I do think it's unavoidable that the Bible associates God's blessing with adequate financial provision and even more than that. And so in this passage, it says that God will give you more than enough in finances and outside of the financial area, you know, in your family, for instance. But, you know, God wants to do this. How that works out in a broken, sinful world, I think, is there's a little bit of mystery there. I don't think it's a one-to-one correspondence, but I do think that we don't need to shy away from the idea that God is generous and he wants to bless, even financially. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8 says this, "The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he or she has decided in their heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And then it says this, "And God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that, always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good need." So we hear those verses about God loving a cheerful giver a lot. It's true. And he seems to associate like how much we are generous, how much we give, with how much he opens up to us, how much he makes available to us. But verse 8 there, he says that he is able to make all grace overflow to us, that we would have all sufficiency in everything, in non-financial things as well as financial things. Why? Well, not so that you can have a big fat bank account and just rest on your laurels, but so that you can have an abundance for every good deed, so that you can see need in the world and participate in providing relief and support and encouragement, so that you can develop people in a way that allows them to make a living for themselves. And we're gonna talk about that more later in this series, about how we can be creative about spending our money in ways that don't just help pay someone's light bill today, but in ways that might help them to be able to live in God's provision for themselves, to be able to make a living. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." So obviously this is an encouragement of Jesus to be generous. But what he says in the midst of our generosity is that we will overflow in this financial area. And so, as I have lived in the Bible all of these decades now, my tension with money has been helped. I've understood that God intends money as a blessing, and there is a way to receive it that way, that I don't have to keep it at arm's length. I don't have to be afraid of it. I should be careful. It is a powerful but dangerous tool, and I need to learn to use it well, to be able to learn to employ it for God's purposes. It's also, this tension has also been resolved for me by decades of friendship and partnership with wealthy people who were faithful and who not only gave money toward me and Michelle so that we could be engaged in ministry full time, but who also cared for us and lived as models of generosity and hospitality and wisdom and compassion. I was praying about this message this morning and just feeling grateful for all of these people who've been in our lives over the last 40 years or so, who were wise with money and who had managed to accumulate a considerable amount of it so that they could be generous with it, with us and with many other people, people who shared their homes with us so that we could take students on retreat. They had big homes, and so they would leave their houses so that we could move in with a dozen students and have a student leaders retreat. The people who gave year after year to partner with us in ministry. Some of them were quite wealthy, and some of them were not wealthy at all by the world's standards. I'm pretty sure that one of them gave me their last $50. I cried when they gave it to me, not for joy, but for, I don't know what that was. I felt terrible. It felt like, you need this worse than I need it. And I was told, you know, you don't get to make that decision about who gives. God chooses that. And, you know, the proper response is thank you. And so I said thank you, but I cried about it. But yeah, when I think of these people who have been our friends, who've loved us with their money and with their things and with their lives, I feel super grateful, and I want to be that person. I want to be the person who learns to handle money well, to save and invest it, to grow it, and to share it generously so that God's purposes in the world are fulfilled. I want to be a blessing financially. And I want this church to be a blessing financially. And some of you know we have a nest egg that is making considerable money from investments, and we're headed toward the figuring out how to use that money to be a blessing in this neighborhood. But I don't want to just stop with that, because it's always easier to do that with someone else's money or with money that's not in my pocket. I want us to look at the money that is in our bank accounts, the money that we have a say over directly, and learn to handle it wisely. Learn to bless people with it. John Wesley said this. He said, earn all you can. Give all you can. Save all you can. And I think I understand better at 4 decades later, I understand better what he meant by that. That somehow all of these are holy pursuits. The making of money, the giving of money, the saving and growing of money. They're all a part of what it looks like, not just to be wise with money, but to be faithful to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us and for giving us the power to make wealth. Now, some of us still don't quite know what that means, but we're open. And I pray that you would unleash our creativity, our hope, our trust in you, that we could be set free in this area of our lives to be a blessing in the world in this financial way. So I know you want us to be a blessing in many ways. I just want it to be in that area as well, Lord, that every part of us, everything that belongs to you, would be a blessing to the world. In Jesus' name, amen.